Well, last week I thought was the week before the camp out, and then Jeff had to tell me it wasn't. So we're going to start a subject, and I can guarantee we won't finish this. What I thought we'd do, and if you notice, there's page 6 down there on your outline. We're making a little booklet. When we get all done with all the spiritual gifts, we'll put them all together for a price than I could do of zero. You can have the whole booklet when we get done if you show desire. But I thought it would be worthwhile because there's such misuse of them that it would be good to have a summary of all the temporary gifts. We've spent quite a bit of time on tongues already. We're not going to recap that except in outline form. But we're going to go in the order that's in the Bible. And just before we look to the Lord in communication, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians, these are all paramount or very important verses I want you to remember. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 28th verse. You have the order. This is important. The order of importance in a service of these, and there's one permanent gift or current gift here, of these temporary gifts. Now, it just reading this verse undoes if these temporary or intermediate or transitional gifts were still existent. This verse is being misused, but they're not existent. And here we have the order in 1 Corinthians 12:28. Now God hath set some on his part in the church. And this is talking about a local church. Now when you read this verse, remember there's no pastor because Apollos left and he was functioning as a pastor. First apostles, so that's, and when we get down even into 2 Corinthians, Paul's going to make sure that everybody knows the apostle had the most authority. Second, prophets, that's New Testament prophets. Thirdly, teachers, that's the only permanent or current gift. After that, miracles, and then the gift, not gifts, gift of healings, plural, helps, that's I misspoke, that's also a current gift. And governments, that's also a current gift. And of tongues. In this list, what is the least important? Because he's very careful to give the list. Now, most people that, and I hate to use the word most, but in my experience, that are still functioning, quote unquote, with these intermediate or transitional gifts, which they aren't existent today. And we'll give you three proofs. We'll recap that again. Tongues is way at the top. So they haven't read this verse, I guess. And they misuse tongues. It means languages. Before we look again to the Word of God, let's look to the God of the Word. Our Father, we do thank you for your Word. We do take great solace in that if we set our rules and if we set our order by what you have in your Scripture, then we'll be doing that which pleases you. And we thank you for the fact that you have not left us in the dark as to what we should do. It's very clear if we just read it, and we thank you for that. Amen. Now, in terms of recapping, I want to recap a couple or summarize a couple things that are very important. And I put it in, let me just back up. In some Christian circles, not all, they do papers and outlines, and you might not even know about this. And then they start throwing in all kinds of information from Word or from Bible works, and there's all kinds of, and when you get done, what do you got? I just want you to know I'm not telling you that this word was used 62 times and this one 42. I'm pretty close, and a total of 100. I looked them all up. But I want to give you information that should I go home and be with the Lord in 10, 15 years from now, maybe even longer, I don't know. From now, somebody comes along and they're misusing tongues, you'll have the information. Now, if you look on your outline, part 2, in 1 Corinthians, and I left out one verse, or one word I want you to put in your own outline. In 1 Corinthians 13:10, this is your master verse for proving to yourself, You probably won't convince people of the charismatic opinion, but you can convince yourself. This verse tells you that these gifts were going to quit or stop or cease or fall away. All those words are used here when the written word was finished. Now, I gave you in your notes, I don't expect you to remember this, but 12 years from now, I got an outline that tells me how I can prove this grammatically. And I gave you Kenneth Wiest's Expanded New Testament. Kenneth Wiest wrote several books on Greek grammar. He has a 5-volume book on word pictures in the Greek, and he's very, very well respected in fundamental circles. Now, verse 10 reads like this then, and I gave you somebody, so you don't have to say, Rich Safer said, the Greek said. I'm giving you that so that you know that somebody with good credentials do it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But when that which is the completed thing. Now, we had a political guy just recently. I'm going to drive this home to make a point. You mean what I know. 13:10. That's why we have the notes. But thank you. In the political realm, I'm just giving you this illustration to drive home the neuter, because we don't really have it that much in the English. But somebody came up to one of the politicians and said, how many genders are there? And he said, well, at least 3. And actually, he didn't know it, but he was it's correct, because gender is a grammatical term. Gender isn't male, female in terms of human beings. That's what sex you are. Now, in most languages, you have it in English, but you don't really see it. If you have a baby that has blue, you say, oh, he's a cute baby. That's the masculine. If there's a baby that has pink blanket, you say, oh, she's cute. That's feminine. If in the old days, before sonograms and everything, they didn't know the sex of a baby, you bought stuff ahead of time at the shower, you bought yellow, because that could go either way. And so if a baby came in with yellow and you said to the mother, oh, it's a cute baby, the mother would probably get mad, because it is a neuter in English. It means a thing, not a person. Now, this word perfect is a neuter. And so it's not talk, it's talking about a thing. Now, you know why I'm reading it the way I am reading it. But when that which is that completed thing is come, and that's talking about the written word. Now, the one thing I left out in your notes is the concept, and put it right out there by number 2, put mode of revelation or method of revelation. So now he's going to, he's listed here all these temporary gifts. They were methods or modes of revelation. The completed thing is the written word of revelation. Now today we only have, God doesn't come and talk to you. If he does to you, we need to have a conversation. But he does talk to us or convey what he wants through his written word. Before there was a written word, how did God convey? Here's some New Testament truth. You have the written Old Testament, but now we're going to change the dynamic a bit. How did they know that? By these gifts. So verse 10, thank you, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. But when that completed thing is come, that which is out of a part. Now that's the gifts here. You have the out of the parts is the same word for fail in verse 8, the same word for shall cease in verse 8, the same word for put away in verse 11. They translated it 4 different ways. When that which is out of a part, that's the gifts that were transitional, shall be done away or shall cease. And the language here pictures that if you graft the written word increasing, and as the written word is completed, then these transitional gifts of revelation subside in the same way. Or so by the time one, the written thing is completed, all these gifts are ceased. That's in review. Now, we also, in review, showed you that there are 12 apostles to the church. I gave you the verse there in Revelation. There were 12 apostles to Israel. Jesus calls them apostles in both Matthew and Mark. There's a distinction between disciples. There were multiple disciples, but 12 apostles. They did not have the gift of apostleship because Ephesians 4, 12, 11 and 12, well, actually going back into verse 8, say that they didn't get the gift of apostleship till after Christ ascended on high. That brought us over the fact that now two apostles, John and Peter, were apostles to the nation Israel, but also are apostles to the church. That's why in Acts 2, 4, and through 4, and I think 5, you have the apostles doing miracles. We'll look at that a little bit later. And if you read it correctly, the apostles that are doing the miracles are New Testament apostles. They're John and Peter. And so that's a very interesting thing. Now, I want to show you a verse that calls them apostles to the church. Remember, that's not an Old Testament concept. Turn, if you will, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we'll be dealing with this passage in the 2 Peter, the third chapter, and we want to look at the second verse. Let's just look at the last part. Well, let's read the whole verse to be... that you may remember, 2 Peter 3:2, that you may remember or be mindful of the words which were spoken before now by the prophets. Now, if you mark in your Bible, this is one of the places that's talking about New Testament prophets and of the commandments from the apostles. This is how come I know. Now, is that Old Testament apostles or New Testament? Well, that was true, but more exactly, is that the apostles of Israel, the apostles of church? Well, he tells you in the next part, and of the Lord and Savior. So those would be the apostles that after Ephesians 4 were given the gift of apostleship. We spend a lot of time on Paul's apostleship, but now we're doing more a general, because he had the majority of the revelation in the written form to us. If you turn to Ephesians, the second chapter, and the 20th verse, this is a verse that tells you the role of the apostles. Now, as you're turning there, the extended metaphor is the church is being built up like a building. Christ is the foundation. We know that from 1 Corinthians 3. So they got a preposition wrong in the King James here. But we'll fix it. Now, that's 1 Corinthians 3:11 if you think I'm wrong. Now, but I'm reading in Ephesians 2:20. I'm keeping track of my verses here. And it's talking about the household of God in the last part of verse 9. Are being built up upon the foundation, not of or consisting or regarding the apostles, but from the apostles. That's an ablative of source. Now, the reason we know that is 1 Corinthians 3:11 says there is no other foundation for the church but Jesus Christ. And in fact, Martin Luther got that right, didn't he? No other foundation. Yeah. I always liked that song just because it rubs salt in the wound of a sect, S-E-C-T. Called Catholicism. Okay, the foundation from the apostles and from the prophets. Now, this is the foundation of the church, theological foundation of the church. That would be New Testament prophets, and Christ Jesus himself being the chief corner, the chief stone or chief cornerstone or headstone. So here we have then that there's apostles to the church. Now, their credentials. I gave you some other, this is review, so I'm not doing all the verses, but the credentials of what proved to be apostle is in 2 Corinthians 12. Now, in this context, we're going to probably go there a little later, back to the 11th chapter. In this context, I'll just tell you, but we're not going to prove this yet. There were false apostles at Corinth, and they were doing such a good job counterfeiting the true apostles that the Corinthians, a lot of them, thought that the false apostles were the real apostles and that Paul was the fake. So one of the things he does from chapters 11 and 12 in 1 Corinthians is he defends his, well, back into the 10th chapter, he's defending his apostleship. And what he's what this verse that tells you the credentials of these New Testament apostles says, what Paul is saying, I'm the only one that can do all three. And I'm going to show you later that Satan's counterfeits can do two of these, but they have to fake the third one. We'll get there, I hope. So this is what the credentials of an apostle were. They had to do all three of these. And that's in 2 Corinthians 12:12. Now, truly the signs in our concept of credentials of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience as signs. And these are all three, this is three kinds of miracles. We're going to be developing that today. Signs, sign miracles, wonder miracles, and the word mighty deeds, it has the idea of power miracles. Now, Jesus did all three. Now, that's why I read you the verse that they're the apostles of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ did all three of these miracles, and when he appointed these 12 apostles to the church, he gave them the ability to do these three kinds of miracles. Now, I'm going to show you that Jesus did these three kinds of miracles. I'm going to later, I think we'll get there today, show you that the Satan's counterfeits can't do all three, but they can do two of them. Over in Acts 2, verse 22, I want to show you that Jesus did these three kind of miracles. Now, they mix up how they translate them in the King James, so just trust me when I read them the way I'm reading them. Acts 2:22. In other words, I'm not misreading them like I misgive you verses, the verse citations. Acts 2:22, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, that's power, that's the word power miracles, wonder miracles, and sign miracles, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourself also know. So here's the picture. And then I'm going to give you the verse that puts it together. Jesus, during his earthly ministry, did these three kinds of miracles. When he appointed the 12 apostles to the church, he gave them the ability to do these three kinds of miracles. Now let's show you the verse that gives you that transition, and that's over in Hebrews, the second chapter and the fourth verse. Hebrews, the second chapter and the fourth verse. Remember when we read this verse that I told you all three persons of the Godhead are involved in getting your spiritual gift. It's the Holy Spirit that actually gives it to you. It's God the Father's plan, and he's the one that mixed the idea of the body. I've showed you that verse in 1 Corinthians 12 and where everybody fits, but it's a relationship to the head that the Holy Spirit's, which is Christ. Now, over in Hebrews 2, let's start with verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There's a real good book, and I can't remember. It's a Strongbeck written called So Great Salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us, and then that, I would include Paul in that, by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with sign miracles, wonder miracles, and the diverse miracles as powers. Now, the word gift is not there. The word gift has to do with distribution. And gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his, that would be God the Father's, back at the start of the verse, own desirous will. So the Holy Spirit's the one that gives you the gift when you're baptized in the body of Christ. It's part of your regeneration. But it's God the Father that directs the Holy Spirit to do it. Now, it's all related to God the Son, so all three persons are involved. We're not leaving out any of them. All of them are harmoniously harmonious in that. Now, I gave you the verse. I'm just going to refer to it because I want to get into new material today. In your notes, Ephesians 4:11 is your proof that the apostleship I'm talking about, the New Testament apostleship, did not occur before Christ's resurrection, which means it could not have been the apostles that we find back in the book of Matthew and the book of Mark that Jesus calls apostles. This apostleship, which is different. Now, remember, the apostles to Israel didn't have to be saved. How can you say that? Well, was Judas saved? No. Was he an apostle? Yeah. Did he do miracles? Yeah. But not these three kind of miracles. Okay? That's the difference. And he was a ringer. And so there's your... And by the way, there were 13 apostles to Israel. One bit the dust. And then two of those come over and are apostles to the church. Okay. One, now we're ready. I've always wanted to do this, so I'm doing it. I want to show you the difference between these three kinds of miracles. If you'll turn to John 2, we're going to show you what a sign miracle is. Now, it used to be, this will help it stick in your mind, it used to be on Highway 101 or Highway 1, I don't know which, at the southern part of Oregon. I remember I used to come up from California to Oregon. There was a sign that said 25 miles an hour for this curve, and then it went back. I think it went left first and then to the right. It said 25 miles an hour. Well, I'm from California, right? I'm driving. And 25 mile an hour curve sign means 45, 50 probably. 25 mile an hour is for those 18 wheels. But you know, that sign really meant it. And I remember the first time going on just two wheels around it at 45 miles an hour. My point is that signs tell you there's something to come. That sign told me, Rich Schaefer, slow down to 25 miles on this curve, and we, even though we lied to you on every other curve, we're telling you the truth on this curve. And I didn't listen to it. I did the second and third. I think it took two or three times. I'm a little slow. My point is that signs point to something. Now, sign miracles point to something. The actual word in the original, John in the book of Revelation uses it as signify. It shows something. And so here, that's a reason for the sign miracle. In John 2, and we want to look at verse 11. In this context, Jesus is going to take water and instantly going to ferment. He's going to turn it to grape juice. He's going to ferment that grape juice, and he's apparently going to age it so that it tastes better than the wine that they had at the beginning. And yes, it was wine. Now, in verse 11, when he did that, so what is he showing? If you can take water, you can change that water to grape juice, change that water to ferment, which is a live thing. Fermentation is caused by yeast. And then age it, which is a chemical interaction. He's proving he's the creator. So this miracle wasn't so that these guys could get a better high with better liquor at the end of their wedding. This miracle was a sign miracle that showed he was the creator. In fact, the book of John has seven sign miracles, and also the book of Revelation has seven signs miracles, but that's another story. And they point to his creation, that he's the creator. Verse 11, second chapter of John. This beginning, now you have in your King James the word miracle. That's the word for sign miracles, did Jesus at Cana of Galilee and showed forth his glory. Now the word glory, always remember, has the root idea of opinion. So he showed who he was, God's opinion of who he was. He was the creator. Now we know back in Genesis 1:1, the reason we know this is because of John 1 and because of Colossians, the first chapter, that it was the Son of God, and also Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that created the universe. Now it was God the Father's plan. God the Son, with just an utterance, put it into existence. Not even a sentence. It just says utterance. And he proved that by, to the ones that they're there that could have the ability to see it, that he was the creator, because he showed his glory by that sign miracle. Glory meaning his opinion, or God the Father's opinion of him. Now, if you go back to, or go over to Acts, the 15th chapter, I want to show you it's distinct and different from the next one we're going to look at, wonders. And they apparently work together sometimes. This is in Acts 15, verse 12. Acts 15, verse 12. Nope. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. That's what's wrong. I knew it was on the wrong part of the page. Acts 15, 12. And then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring, the word declaring, it means they explained the event, what miracles. Now that word miracle is the word for sign miracles, and wonder miracles God had wrought among the Jews, or Gentiles, non-Jews, through them, through Barnabas and Paul. So here are two things. One is that what went on here caused them an awe, which is going to get us to wonders. And the other idea is that they saw something, they visually saw something with a sign, the sign miracle, and it worked together with the wonder miracles. It's interesting as we look at this concept of wonder miracles, or that wonder miracles come from a root that has the idea of to watch or to guard or to observe. So that's why we know that it's different than the sign miracle, because it not only is a different word, but it has by the description and the root of the word. There's a verb that has to do with to guard or to observe or to watch. And it's the noun that comes from that. So they work together, but they are different. Now, these wonder miracles are designed to cause... So the sign points. A wonder miracle is one that causes awe. It draws a crowd. And that's the meaning of the word. Turn back to Acts, the second chapter, and the 19th verse. Acts, the second chapter, and the 19th verse. And you can kind of see it here in this verse. And I will show wonders. This is bringing over Joel, the second chapter. Joel, the second chapter, is at the end of the tribulation, at the beginning of the millennium. And there's a similarity, but not identity, to Joel, the second chapter, and Acts, the second chapter. The similarity is it's the same thing, the Holy Spirit that's being talked about. But it's not the same event. That Peter and the Holy Spirit explain that down in verse 32 through 36. But we're just jumping in the middle of the context here in Acts, the second chapter, in the 19th verse. And I will show wonders, that's wonder miracles, in heavens above. And I want you to get the pictures. I read this verse based on the meaning of these words, that there's something spectacular that heavens goes in the heavens and gets everybody's attention. Everybody goes, ah. And then, and in the heaven above, and signs in the earth below. So the in the heavens, or heaven, they get everybody's attention. And then there's signs down here about what's going to happen, or what they're supposed to do. And that's in the days, the signs in the earth below, and blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. And they have the concept of judgment there. But I'm mostly pointing out that there's a difference between the two. but we're now looking at one at wonders, and wonders draw a crowd or have the idea of awe. If you look over in the 43rd verse of the same chapter, second chapter of Acts, you have it again. And here you can see more the idea that wonders appeal to the emotion or the soul. And fear came, verse 43, second chapter of Acts, and fear came upon every soul, that's emphasizing individuals but also emphasizing their emotion. And many wonders, miracles, and sign miracles were done by the apostles. It's interesting, you have a plural apostles there, but if you chase it, and you can see it down in verse 1 of chapter 3, it's Peter and John. And you can trace it through the next few chapters, the apostles they're talking about are Peter and John. Now, why would that be important? Because, now I'm going to give you an exception to this general rule. That would be important because the general rule is that it was the apostles that had the ability to do all three of these miracles. Now, I'm going to tell you in the transition, there's an exception to that. In the transition, like Stephen and Philip, others were given supernatural powers. And that's back, let me show you, back in Acts 1. Let's see. I hadn't meant it. Okay, they're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in verse 5. Okay, I think it's, verse 8. These are some of the transitional people. This is even beyond the gift of apostleship. Verse 8, first chapter of Acts, and shall receive power. That word power is inherent power. Now, I think we have this in here. This is what the what was the name of that song? Pentecostal power. I think it's in here. No. Most hymnals in Baptist churches have this one. There's a song in there about, please let the Pentecostal power fall upon me again. No, you're not going to. That was a one for. But during the transition, some of these people who were not apostles could do some of the miracles, but not all three. If they did all three, they were, and the ones that come to mind were Stephen and Philip, the evangelist, come to mind. So these wonders drew awe. Now, this is an important thing. I looked up every one of them. I've never seen this anywhere. Wonders are always mentioned with signs, but sign miracles are mentioned without wonders. So wonders must come first. The awe comes first, draw the crowd, and then the sign, I read the verses to you, point to where it's going. But Jesus, in the book of John, does 7 sign miracles without wonders. And they were for posterity on down the line, not necessarily for the people that were there. So that's just an interesting concept. Now, the third kind of miracle is a power miracle. A power miracle proves, now I was very careful with the language there. A power miracle proves there's something supernatural going on. Got to be careful. And this is what our next point we're going to get to. You need to get this very important point. Not everything supernatural is from God. I'm going to prove that to you. Well, there are other natural meaning human, beings, Satan being one, and he can do supernatural things. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But power miracles, let's turn to Matthew 11:12, have to do with authority. The word power has to do with ability. You know what word we translate, what word we can translate that sometimes in English? Can, meaning have the ability. I'll tell you about the word can, C-I-N. I used to, when I was teaching, you know, kids would come up, Mr. Schaefer, can I go to the bathroom? I said, yeah, you can, but what you mean is may you go to the bathroom. Can means to have the ability to go to the bathroom. This word for power miracles means the ability, and it's showing supernatural ability. Matthew, the 11th chapter, and the 20th verse. Then began he, I should pick this verse, although I think there's 50 times, no. Oh, pretty close to 100 times this word's used. And then began Jesus to upbraid the cities wherein most of his, now this word mighty works has to do with power. Power miracles were done because they didn't repent. They didn't change their mind. Now, I want to just take an aside. One of the reasons a lot of people want to have these intermediate gifts functioning today, they say, well, it'll help us believe more Jesus. And in fact, I've actually heard people say, I wish I was there during Jesus' earthly ministry and I could see his miracles. It would help my faith more. And you know, Rich said on the score sheet, they don't know anything about faith, because if you see it, it's not faith. I got a verse for that. What this verse says, that no matter how much he showed that he had the ability of God himself, that it didn't change their mind. It made them account. And if you read this, this passage, it actually makes them more accountable. If you turn over, let's just skip a verse. Let's turn over to the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, and I want to link this concept of power, this kind of power. There's three words for power. This word for power, I want to link it to authority. And here it's talking about deity. When Jesus does it, it's a deity. When Paul and the New Testament apostles did it, they weren't deity, but it showed that they were apostles of Christ. Matthew 26, verse 64. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power. Now, that's talking about the throne in the third heaven. The throne in the third heaven is the seat of the power, actually of the ultimate power. And this is the word for power miracles. It's a different ending, but it's the same root word. And coming in clouds, it's talking of heaven, talking about the future second coming. Now, what it's saying here is that all power, the ultimate power, is set, S-E-T, at the throne in the third heaven. And that's what the power miracles indicated, that when Jesus did it, that he had the authority of God himself. When the apostles did it, that they had the authority from Christ as apostles. That's why, remember the first verse we read today? That's why Paul and the Holy Spirit said in the church during this time with no pastor, the apostles first. Because he could do all three of those miracles. He had the very authority of Jesus Christ himself. Now, I want to get into this concept of counterfeit. Now, I'm just going to mention these. We've gone over these before. There are three reasons you can prove to yourself that these intermediate or transitional gifts don't exist today. What's the one, main one is 1 Corinthians, and thank you for that correction, 13:10. You won't find it in 10:13, but you will find it in 13:10. The second thing is, if you understand the concept of faith in Hebrews, the first chapter, or 11th chapter in the first verse, not 1:11, but 11:1, then you'll know that the Christian life, both in the past to be saved, present tense salvation, and future tense salvation, are not one, when you exercise faith, is not one that you have to see. The third thing is, and I'm not going to get into it in detail, is that the kingdom from the heavens is in mystery form. That means it can't be seen. Nebuchadnezzar could see that God was in charge. Right now, God has lent out the world system to Satan during the dispensation of grace. Satan can do anything he wants within limits in the world system, except to whom? Christians. And during that time, God, being in ultimate in charge, is not seen with eyes. It's seen by faith. Okay. Now that brings us to the concept that Satan can counterfeit, turn to Matthew 7, can counterfeit two of these miracles. Now it's going to appear to mankind that he can counterfeit all three, but I'm going to show you a verse that says that he can't do all of them. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, this is a prophecy by the last Old Testament prophet talking about his second coming, and when he comes back at his second coming, there's going to be people that come up to him and say, "Oh, Christ, my Savior, I invited you into my heart." I'm making that up. And he's going to say, "I never knew you." Because they're going to do these miracles. Verse 22, chapter 7 of Matthew. This is when he comes back. "Many will say unto me in that day," that's the day of his second coming, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied?" Now, I'm not going to develop it today, but if you look up the word prophesied, it is akin to and is sometimes seen with the word, the sign miracles. So that indicates, it implies, but doesn't, it's not a proof of, but it seems to imply sign miracles. "In your name, and in your name have cast out demons, and in your name have done many wonderful," now that word for wonderful is our power work. So they did supernatural things during the tribulation. When Christ comes back, his second coming, there's going to be false Christs going out. John talks about them. They're going to go out, and they're going to be false Christ, and they're going to have an almost salvation, but not a salvation. In other words, they're going to be like the used car dealer. "Yeah, this car only has 6,000 miles on it." And you get in and you look at it, the tires are worn out. No, okay, they're going to be like that. And they're going to be false Christ, and they do many. And that word wonder is the word, wonderful works is the word for power miracles. Power miracles, and then Jesus will say unto them, "Get away from me, I never knew you." That's the next verse. If you'll turn with me over, you also have that in Mark, but we want to go to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. This is in the early church where there was counterfeit. Now, I want to say this is actually a fourth proof. You cannot counterfeit something that's not existent. Let me say this. If, and you know they want to do this, if the government said there's no more printed money, you know they want to do that because they want to be able to track every money. If there's no more printed money, all money is electronic. At that point, if there was no such thing as a dollar bill, can you counterfeit a dollar bill? You can only counterfeit something that exists. Now, over in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, we're going to see that Satan counterfeited the apostles. Can Satan counterfeit an apostle today? No, because they don't exist. Okay, I'm going to, a lot in the first four verses. We're just going to read them real quick of the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. "Would that God would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. I am zealous," not jealous, "zealous over you with a godly zealousness. And I have espoused you as to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest in any means as a serpent," now that serpent, this is one of the four places in the New Testament we know that in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, that's Satan. You don't know that in the Old Testament. "That serpent beguiled Eve through his subtleness so that your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if one coming, if for one, so, or this is a, for if one coming preaches another of the same sort of Jesus," this is the kind of person, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, that just spends the whole time in the Gospels, although we do teach the Gospels, but we don't stay there. We get over to the epistles. "Another Jesus of the same sort whom we have not preached." Now, Paul always preached, if you need a verse for that, 2 Corinthians 5 verses 4 and 5. He knew Christ during his earthly ministry, but he preached a risen Christ. "Or if," middle verse 4, "if you receive another of a different kind of spirit." Now, I would take that to be Satan, because I know the context here. Verse 2, "which you have not received, or another of a different kind of gospel." In other words, there's gospels out there that are close to the true gospel, but they're not the gospel. "Which you have not accepted. that you might bear with me, not with him. Now that brings us down to verse 11. Now you remember in chapter 12, he's going to prove that he's an apostle. This is why. For such, now the such goes back to the false teachers in the verses 3 and 4. For such are false apostles. The word false means lying. Cunning or tricky, and this word is the word for bait. You know, when you go fishing, you use false bait, but that's what it's talking about. Deceitful workers. Now, this word for transforming has the idea of appearing on the outside, but it doesn't reflect what's inside. And I'm going to just give you a stereotype of masquerading themselves as apostles of Christ. Don't marvel, for Satan himself masquerades or on the outside looks like an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his goes back to Satan's ministers, also masquerade as ministers, a quality of righteousness, and whose end shall be according to their works. So there were people. That's why Paul is going to say apostle has to have these three kind of miracles. Now, I'm going to show you another verse that if we put these all together, that shows that they were probably doing two of these miracles legitimately from Satan, but they couldn't do the third. You want the verse? 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter and the ninth verse. Now, watch this closely. We have all this verse is talking about during the tribulation. This is similar and talking about the same people, this is talking about an individual that is at the same time as the people that Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7. This is talking about the person who is the first beast of Revelation 13, sometimes mislabeled the Antichrist. There's a whole bunch of Antichrists, according to John. This is the world dictator. And this guy is going to do, let me tell you, one of them, he's going to have miracles up in the sky. One of the miracles he's going to do is he's going to make an image of himself, and he's going to make it come alive and make it talk. And that is a miracle. Now, this brings us to the ninth verse. He does a whole bunch of other things too. He's a false god. The word Antichrist, and applied to the first beast of Revelation 13, has the idea of in place of Christ. It doesn't mean, it has more of an in place of instead of against. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Now watch this. This is talking about the man of sin, even whose coming is after the works of Satan, so you have the same ultimate source, with all power. Now that's the word for power miracles, signs, that's the word for signs.